5 tonight. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 5, the Word of God. I appreciate Brother Sloan. I like a man with a mission. Amen. Man on a mission. And appreciate him and his faithfulness, allowing the Lord to use him. He's not old, but Lord used him a lot longer than I've been alive. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. We need some people that'll be faithful. Amen. That's what we need. Acts chapter 5 tonight, and I just want to read several verses, starting in verse number 40. If you're there with me, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bible says here, "And to him they agreed. When they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Daily in the temple, in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Father, we love you tonight. We thank you so much for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, one more time, to be in your house. Lord, we don't know if we'll have another opportunity, but we know, Lord, you've given us this opportunity. Help us to take advantage of it tonight. Lord, I pray tonight you would give us receptive hearts. Lord, give us open ears. And Father, that you would roam up and down these aisles, Lord, and do a work. Help us to leave different than we came. Help it to not just be another service. Help it not to be for naught. But Lord, do a change. Do a work. Do something in our life this evening, we pray. Father, I pray you cleanse me of my sin. Empty me of self. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Help me to preach only what thus saith the Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Help me to say nothing does not need to be said, but everything that does. It's all said and done tonight. I want to be sure to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory that's due only your holy name, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach tonight on this thought, marks of an excellent witness. Marks of an excellent witness. There was a man who lived in England by the name of Charles Pease. Maybe some of you heard of him. He was a notorious criminal, a very wicked guy, really. He was sent to be executed and finally was executed on February 25th, 1879. Just before he was executed, there was an Anglican minister that came in and kind of half-heartedly read to him the consolation of religion. The words that he read were these. He said, "Those who die without Christ experience hell, which is the pain of forever dying without the release which death itself can bring." Now, as that minister read those words, Charles Pease, this notorious criminal, stopped the preacher and he said this. He said, "Sir, if I believe what you and the church say you believe, even if England were covered with broken glass from coast to coast, I would walk over it if need be on my hands and on my knees and think it worthwhile living just to save one soul from an eternal hell like you preach about." As we think about the words of this man who's fixing to be put to death, fixing to be crucified, I don't know about you, but it's convicting to me when we think about the fact that there are people dropping off into hell every single day. The man mentioned it here just a moment ago, how so many, even deaf, are lost. That's just that one crowd of people. I want you to understand there are scores and scores of more people dropping off into hell. The Bible says this, "Narrow is the way to life everlasting, and few there be that find it. Broad is the road that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat." The fact of the matter is, the majority are going to hell. You and I need to be telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at this passage of Scripture, these disciples here give us a wonderful example of what it means to be considered an excellent witness. As we look at this, I want you to notice several things about these men. I want you to notice, first of all, the consistency of their witness. Notice the consistency of their witness. We'll be dealing most of all with verse number 42 tonight. We'll take that as our main text. Wonderful verse. The consistency of their witness. Notice the Bible says, "And daily in every house," daily in the temple and in every house, "they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." As we look at this verse, we find that there was a steadfastness and consistency to their witnessing. A little 5-year-old girl by the name of Hannah, who had just newly been saved, she said to her mother, not long after being saved, she said to her one day, she said, "Mom, I think that Jesus has moved out of my heart. Her mother, of course, being concerned, as you would imagine you would be if your child said something like that to you. She said, well, honey, where do you think he's gone? Finally, she said, well, Mom, she says, my mouth, because I just can't quit telling everybody about Jesus Christ. Amen? Hey, friend, that's how every one of us ought to be, the consistency of their witness. As we think about that, I want you to notice several things. First of all, notice the period in their witness. Look what the Bible says again in verse number 42. Watch this. And daily. And daily, the period of their witness. The disciples, listen, they preached Jesus every day, not just on Tuesday night, soul winning. Not just on Saturday morning, Operation Go. Not just when it was convenient. Not just when there was sunshine. Not just when there wasn't rain. Not just when it was warm. Not just when it was something fun to do. Not just when they had the opportunity or had the time. Oh no, but daily, the Bible says, they preached the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're not, they were faithful every day to witness for Jesus. If we're not careful, we'll get caught up thinking the only time we're to witness and go soul winning is if we have a certain thing, time scheduled at church. Listen, it's much more than that. I don't see how we can turn it on and turn it off. You ever notice that? Sometimes it's like, now I'm for setting a time. Things that get planned get done. We set a time. This is when we're going to go. You ought to be a part of it. But listen, it's something that we need to understand is a daily basis what we're supposed to do. It is a responsibility to you and I. Witnessing, listen, isn't something that we just do. You understand that? But it's something that we are. He said in Acts chapter 1, "You shall be witnesses unto me." It's not something that we simply do, but it's something that we are. We're a witness, think about this, of the greatest event that's ever happened on the face of this earth. And you and I have the greatest information. Hey, people will spend all kinds of money on getting satellite radio, on cable television, so some message can be communicated to them that will not matter in 100 years from now. And they'll turn the radio, listen to talk radio about the political climate and everything else. That's all right. I'm not against those things. But I'm saying tonight, you and I have the greatest message this world needs worse than they need anything else. God help us to be faithful to share it on a daily basis. It's not something that we do, it's something that we are. We're a witness. Because it's so great, let's resolve every single day we're going to tell somebody about Jesus. He was a young man, he was a young salesman, he was disappointed about losing a big sale. So he goes and he talks to his sales manager and he said to his sales manager, well, I guess it just proves you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. To which his manager replied to him, he says, son, he says, your job, watch this, he said, your job's not to make them drink. Your job is to make them thirsty. Can I say to you tonight, our lives should be so filled with Christ and so filled with His goodness that somebody's thirsty for the gospel. They're thirsty for what we have. It's not our job, listen, it's not our job to make them drink. It's our job to make them want to drink. Can I say to you tonight, they ought to see something in my life that looks appealing. They ought to see something in your life that looks appealing. The Bible talks about to adorn the doctrine of God. We ought to do that not only as we preach and teach the Word of God, but we ought to do that in our everyday life. Adorning the gospel, making the Christian life look fun, making it look like what it really is supposed to be. The greatest thing that we've ever had happen in our life. It ought to be something that people, I'm afraid so many times as people look at a Christian, they think, man, Lord, I don't know what they got, but God, please help me not catch it. Huh? I'm saying, listen, it's not our job to make them drink. It's our job to make them thirsty. They ought to see something that they want to have what we got. Are people envious of what you got? You think about many times for years, people, because as far as I know, everybody went to school with at least all my friends. They're divorced. Many of them have been divorced several times. And honestly, they used to envy what me and my wife had as far as a marriage and as far as a home and those kinds of things. You know what? People, even more than that, they ought to envy my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They ought to envy my Christian life. One preacher said, I want to get so full of God that if a mosquito bites me on the hand, He'll leave singing, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Hey, friend, there ought to be something appealing about the Lord Jesus in our life. Daily, the Bible says. Every day, we ought to tell people about Jesus with our life, but also our lips. Both of them. I've talked to people, well, you just lifestyle evangelism. No, but can I tell you this? A whole lot more is caught than taught. And people, listen, sometimes your actions speak so loud they can't hear a word you're saying. So our walk ought to line up with our talk. Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But if you're saying so, you need to be so. Amen? I mean, our lives ought to line up with our lips. Listen, Jesus said, there's a crowd that honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We see the period of their witness daily. Notice the second thing, the permanence of their witness. The Bible says in verse number 42 again, he says, watch this, they cease not. Man, I like that. They cease not. These disciples didn't quit when things were uncomfortable to them. They didn't throw in the towel when they were arrested and when they were persecuted. Oh, if you back up and read the passage of Scripture, you'd find out they've already thrown them in prison and many other things. Listen, they didn't abandon their faith. They did not complain. But instead, the Bible says they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. They rejoiced. The Bible says they preached and witnessed in the temple. The temple, sadly, was a place that where disciples experienced a lot of hostility. Where the disciples experienced a lot of opposition. These religious leaders, they didn't like the message about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the sad thing today is many times? One of the places that you'll get the most opposition sometimes for bringing a soul or bringing somebody to Christ, bringing somebody, thank God it's not that way around here, but many places, well, who do they think they are? They brought somebody new to church every week. Praise God. Well, who are they bringing that person in here looking like that? The day, and you've heard me say this, and I say it till the time I'm gone, but the day that an old sinner can't walk in this place and feel love is the day this preacher won't be here. Hey, listen, they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're doing what comes natural. They're sinners. They're going to sin. We're not trying to dress them up and get them all looking right, smelling right, and being right. He does that. You catch him, he'll clean them. Amen? He'll do that part. But these religious leaders, they didn't like the message about the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't like the fact that they were sinners and their own good works couldn't save them. They didn't like that message. Many times they arrested the disciples for preaching Jesus Christ in the temple. They told them on one occasion not to speak anymore in His name, but the disciples didn't stop. That didn't deter them. They didn't stop preaching Christ. They did not change the message. They didn't water it down to suit those that did not like it. But they went on ahead and preached Jesus Christ. I told you once before, this Independent Baptist Church, lady said about her preacher, very well-known preacher, you'd know him probably if I said his name, but said all he ever does is preach Jesus. Hello? What else are we going to preach? I like what Peter said unreservedly in Acts 2:36. He said, let all the house of Israel know that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Boy, didn't pull any punches, did he? Can I say to you, in a world that's plummeted into apostasy, that's infiltrating our churches that also are heading into apostasy. There's more and more pressure for us to change the message than there's ever been before. There's more and more pressure for us to become politically correct. There's more and more pressure for us to drop the banner. But can I tell you something? Me telling somebody that their sin is okay is not going to help them. Me getting up here, which I don't have the right to do that anyway, but me getting up here and trying to justify people's life and justify, that's not what they need. They need somebody that loves them enough to tell them the truth. If I get up and tell a homosexual his lifestyle's okay and everything be all right, that's not going to help him. If I get up and tell a whoremonger the same thing, by the way, whoremonger's just as bad. I'm against it all. I know the one's unnatural. But sin's sin, friend. And for me to get up and say, hey, this is all right, you just don't worry about it. God does love them, but He hates their sin. We need to tell them the truth. Their sin's wicked, but Jesus died for it. He'll forgive them if they'll just turn it over to the Lord. We don't like opposition, do we? Nobody likes to be opposed. We don't like opposition, but as long as we preach Christ, I'm going to tell you there's going to be opposition. Jesus said they hated me. You better know they're going to hate you. There was a permanence in their witness. They cease not. Oh, I love the Apostle Paul. He goes on, I mean, man, he gives a laundry list, Brother Sloan. He gives a laundry list of all the persecutions, all the viper's bites and the shipwrecks and everything else. And at the end of it all, he says those famous words, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself that I might finish my course with joy." But none of these things move me. God help us to be people who'll give the gospel regardless. Listen, we need to be a group of people. God help us to raise up a generation that instead of tuck-tailing and running, instead of trying to be secret disciples and hiding behind their Christianity, they'll let the redeemed of the Lord, they'll say so as they're supposed to, and they're going to stand up and step up and speak up that Jesus is the only way. We need some people to just be permanent. They cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. We see the period and their witness, the permanence of their witness. Won't you notice the place? The places where they witnessed. Once again, the Bible says, and in the temple and in every house. Now, no doubt about it. When we come into the house of God and people come in the house of God from the congregational singing to the choir to Sunday school all the way to the preaching of the Word of God, people should hear you and I giving witness of a great salvation offered through the Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, in many places, people can't even find a witness in church. Man, I'm telling you, they're singing about everything else. They're glorifying everyone else instead of the Lord Jesus. But that, they were singing, they were worshiping. And when we come into the house, God ought to be that way. But listen, that wasn't the end of their witness. That was not the only place they witnessed. The Bible says, listen, daily in every house. In every house. When you and I walk out these doors, we don't cease to be a Christian. Thank God for that, amen? Aren't you glad you don't cease to be a child of God when you leave these doors? And you and I don't cease to have a responsibility. The same way I got a responsibility to stand up and preach the gospel, I have the same responsibility when I leave, and you do as well. We have just as much responsibility to share Jesus with the world in our communities as we do in the church house. Christopher Searcy was playing basketball with his friends on May 16, 1998. A shot rang out, and he was hit in the chest. The bullet perforated, is that how they say it, his artery anyway, his aorta actually, tore his aorta. His friends helped him to get to the hospital. They got him within 40 feet of the entrance of Ravenswood Hospital as far as they could get him, and they went inside to ask for help. They went inside. The hospital staff refused to help Christopher. They said it was against hospital policy to administer aid to anybody that was outside of the hospital. Eventually, a police officer was able to get a wheelchair, and he went and got Christopher up and wheeled him into the hospital, where the hospital staff finally began to come and help him. But it was too late. He died an hour later. Many times it seems that churches are surrounded by people that desperately need to hear the gospel, yet Christians are content to share it only with those who come inside their doors. God help us not be guilty of somebody going to hell just outside the doors of these churches. God help us not to be guilty of someone going to hell down the street or across the road in the subdivision, one of them around us. God help us to be the lighthouse we're supposed to be, to go daily and to go in every house and teach and preach Jesus Christ. Some time ago, I read this story, and I may have told you this story before because it's one that I've never been able to get off my mind. It's an 18-year-old girl from Washington State, and she attended a church service some time ago. It's the first time in her life she had ever been to church, and she heard the gospel message while she was there. Following Tuesday, the members of the church received a letter from her. I want to read to you what it said. Said, "Dear church members, Last Sunday, I attended your church. I heard the preacher. In the sermon, the preacher said that all men have sinned and rebelled against God. Because of their rebellion and disobedience, they all face eternal damnation, separation from God. But then he also said, God loves man and sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to redeem men from their sins, and that all those who believe in him would go to heaven and live with God eternally. My parents recently died back to back. I know that they did not believe in Jesus Christ, whom you call the Savior of the world. If what you believe is true, they're damned. You compel me to believe that either the message is true, that you yourself don't believe the message, or that you don't care. You see, we live only three blocks from the church, and no one ever told us. There are people groping in the darkness. Friend, you heard the statistics earlier, even just about the death. If we understand that the Bible, even the Bible tells us that the broad is the road, and broad is the road, and many there be that go in thereat. We know that the majority of people are lost. The majority of people are on their way to hell. You and I have what they need. We're going to have to come to a place where we'll get outside of our comfort zone. We're going to have to come to a place where we quit worrying about what people think about us and get a lot more concerned about what God knows about us. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Friend, listen, if you're ashamed of what you believe, if you're ashamed of what you rest your eternal salvation and eternal destiny on, I pity you. God help us not to be ashamed of our salvation. So we leave three blocks from your church. Nobody ever told us. We're accountable to God for the message we have. Oh, in Ezekiel, God says, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou speaketh not to warn the wicked of his wicked way, that same wicked man will die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. God says he's going to hold us accountable for the witness that we have. He's going to hold us accountable for the information, for the message that we have. Let's keep taking it from house to house. Let's keep trying to reach the world. Do you realize, statistically speaking, only one person is reached for Christ for every 85 church members in America? One person's reached for every 85 church member. Aren't you glad somebody told you? Who told you about the Lord? How'd you get saved? If they weren't faithful, where would you be going? Out of 50,000 people who were asked why they came to church, 75 to 90% said they came because somebody invited them. Get those statistics, friend? Well, preaching to more people in church, thank the Lord for what he's done and what he's doing, but I'll tell you something. If we'd do our part, he'd do more. 2% came by advertisement. 75 to 90 came because somebody invited them. 6% by a pastor's invitation. 6% from a campaign. 86% by family, friends, or relatives. Not only that, but listen to these statistics. Only 2% of church members ever invite an unchurched person. Only 2% of everybody that goes to church ever invites somebody that's not church, that's never been to church. One study found that 37% of Christians link their salvation to being invited to church. In other words, it was directly connected. Somebody invited them to church, they heard the gospel, and through that, they were saved. 37% of the people that saved. 40% of the people who joined, other words, they stayed, first came because of a friend. 40% of the people that's a member of a church right now, they came, first of all, because of a friend. A friend invited them. Friend, you and I need to get busy. We see the consistency in their witness, the period, and the permanence, and the place. While there's no wrong place to witness, sometimes there could be a wrong time. Stories told about a barber who had just been gloriously saved in an old-fashioned tent meeting, and he was fired up. I mean, he was all ready to go, and the next morning at work, he wanted to share his new faith and witness to the lost. The customer came in his barber shop, and he began to shave him. He was trying to muster up the right words and trying to get up the nerve. And finally, as he's got the man in his neck's back and he's got the razor right there at his neck, he stood up and he's with poise. He says, "Are you prepared to meet God?" That might not be the best time to ask that question. But you'll notice the second thing in the passage. Notice the correctness of their witness. We see the consistency. Notice the correctness. Notice the rest of the verse, verse 42, says they cease not to teach and preach. Watch this. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. In the Greek language, there's a definite article here in that little phrase. It says this, Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ. You see, not only did the disciples declare that Jesus was the Savior of our sins and the Savior of the world, but they declare that Jesus was and is the Christ. In other words, He is the Messiah. Oh, what an unpopular message you could preach to a bunch of Jews, because they rejected the Messiah. They didn't believe He was the Messiah. The Jews had rejected Him, but the disciples, listen, they had their theology correct, and they preached that Jesus was the Messiah. Proverbs 14 and verse number 25 says this, a true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. All the witnessing in the world won't matter if you're pointing people to the wrong place, the wrong person for salvation. You can witness to your belief, but we got to have the right message. We got to be pointing them to the right person. The disciples cease not to teach and preach, but watch this, Jesus Christ. Without good doctrine and right doctrine, there's no way that you and I could ever be that excellent witness we're talking about. All roads don't lead to heaven, friend. Well, I just think if you're sincere, and I've had so many people tell me that, I just believe, if you're sincere in what you believe, and you really believe that, then that, no friend, truth don't change. And listen, God didn't die so we could get to heaven some other way. If there was another way I could get to heaven, then Jesus Christ died in vain. He didn't have to die. Oh, but the truth is, there was no other one. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law. He's the only one that could have ever died for my sin, your sin. The perfect, pure sacrifice. All roads don't lead to heaven. Let me tell you something. The Muslims can tell you they pray to the same God, but they don't. There's only one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Can I tell you this? There's only one. There's not all roads lead to heaven. God promises us in His Word, if we'll continue to be consistent every day, in every place, to witness for Him, eventually it'll pay off. I love the verse. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bury precious seed. What's precious seed? My opinion, my wisdom, the Word of God. Bearing precious seed. He that goeth forth and weepeth, we got that part right first. Bearing precious seed shall doubtless. Now listen, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it because the Bible says it. You're not hearing this from me. It's not a promise from me. You can take that with a grain of salt. This is what God's saying. God says, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And if you know anything about farming, I don't know much, but I know this, a sheave's a lot more than a seed. Bringing his sheaves, all that fruit, with him. Doubtless come again rejoicing. Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Can I tell you, that's one of the biggest problems we have today. Too many dry eyes. We've become spiritual fatsoes. We've become spiritually obese. we sit and we feed on the Word of God. Can I just tell you this? I like conferences. I like seminars and all those kinds of things. What we need, honestly, we don't need another conference. We don't need another seminar. We don't need another revival. We don't need another missions conference. We don't need another whatever big day you want to name or something like that. What we need to do is just go out and do what we already know we're supposed to do instead of having to be prodded and pampered and petted. We just need to go out and sow the seed. God will do the rest. There's a pastor in England. He asked a Christian woman who was dying of cancer about how she got saved. She gave him a piece of paper that had been torn from an American newspaper. This piece of newspaper contained one of Spurgeon's sermons. The scrap paper had been wrapped around a package that was mailed to her from Australia. As she read the sermon, God convicted her heart, and she prayed and asked the Lord to save her. But the peculiar thing about all this is that a sermon preached in England, printed in America, somehow came to Australia, was used as wrapping paper and sent back to England where it originally came from and resulted in this woman's salvation. Friend, you never know what that one track will lead to. They're just going to throw it down. We're not called to be soil testers. We're called to be seed sowers. We're not called to determine where it's going to grow and where it's not. That's all up to the Lord. We're just called to sow the seed. Give it out. You never know where a tract's going to end up or a gospel witness is going to end up, how far it may send. God may send it to save someone. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 1 encourages us to cast thy bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days. God's word will not return void. He's promised that. It'll turn up one day in the form of a sinner that was saved by the grace of God because of our witness. I close with this tonight. Moish Rosen, she prayed for her husband every day. He was a devout Jew. Don't have anything to do with Christianity. She prayed for him every day. She often wept as she asked the Lord to show him the truth about Jesus Christ, that he is the true Messiah. He is everything he said he was. A whole lot more. She knew she couldn't talk much about her newfound faith in Christ around her husband because he'd just get mad. So she simply left a tract-style booklet laying around the house about heaven there on the table. She knew that her husband was naturally curious, and sure enough, he read it. A few weeks later, when they had a disagreement about something, he blurted out to her. He says, well, listen, he said, heaven's not like that guy says it is. She says, oh, what guy? The guy who wrote the pamphlet you've left laying around the house. And as he began to point out the pamphlet where it was supposedly wrong, he was forced to acknowledge the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ when he looked at the Word of God and examined true Christianity based on what the Bible said. That information he had planted a seed of the gospel in his heart. That night he trusted Christ as his Savior, and he went on to become the founder of Jews for Jesus. It's now a worldwide ministry. It's dedicated to sharing the good news of forgiveness and eternal life that's been purchased by a Jew named Jesus. It's their statement. Every day, everywhere we go, without reservation. Let's learn to be an excellent witness. Let's learn to not keep it to ourselves, but give it out. Can I tell you, the night cometh when no man can work? Well, we got to work, for the night is coming. Work while it's day. Can you imagine what would happen in our community, this little community right here, Hall's Crossroads? You could talk about Coryton Gibbs. Can you imagine what would happen if everyone in this building would get a burden for someone, just one? Just get a burden for one person, somebody you work with, some relative that you have, whatever it is. Get a burden for that one person. If all of us just reached one, that alone would have the potential to turn Crossroads, of course our church, but Hall's Crossroads upside down for Christ. Because it's just like that seed will bring forth sheaves. You see, when I win somebody the Lord or you win somebody the Lord, they got a family. And most of the time, especially if you win the dad, that family gets saved. And so that one you won turns into many more. If all of us would get burdened about one person, I'm going to tell you something. If God had laid somebody on your heart that you're concerned with, you got a heart problem. Friend, it's that simple. Oh, he looked on the fields. He began to weep. They're white already. He looks over Jerusalem, who had rejected him, and still he begins to weep. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them, how oft would I have gathered you together as hens gather their chicks, but you would not. It ought to bring us to tears, to weeping. While we stand tonight for prayer, I want to be an excellent witness, don't you? Would you come tonight and ask God to help you reach one person that's on your heart? So 105 people die every minute. That's 2 per second. Almost 2 people per second. Friend, 2 more just dropped off into hell. 2 more just dropped off into hell. 2 per second. Based on the statistics I told you tonight, one person out of every 85 church members. Friend, I don't want to be an average church. I don't want to be an average Christian. God help us to do our part. While we sing, why don't you come? Don't wait. Come and ask the Lord to help you reach that one. They need it. They're counting on you.